Forza Horizon 6 is out, and you might be surprised what I think of it. Plus, a bill to preserve online games is advanced in California. Tonight is May 17th, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
I just want to be driving around. I want to be driving around another country or just doing something. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, a lonely edition. I'm the only one here tonight on VOG of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this Forza weekend, thank you so much for being here, for taking up some time out of your gaming to do that if you bought the big edition. If you didn't buy the big expensive edition, you have a couple more days to wait. But yeah, thank you so much. We do tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VOG Network. Come join us and interact with the show directly, but this is a podcast, and so you can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, to talk back during the week and also suggest stories that you want to hear throughout the week. We will be not be here in two Sundays because I am going to a concert, and, Weird Al... is always a fun concert, and unfortunately he keeps playing Atlanta on Sunday nights. I have in the past not gone to the show so I could continue to do this show, but this time I'm like, no, I'm gonna go to the show. This so it is, unfortunately it's on Sunday May 31st, so unfortunately I will not be here in 2 weeks, but I'm here tonight. Orange Sound Radio 2DX is not here tonight, so we will be doing some marbles on stream afterwards. Stay tuned for that. There were new games. I'm not actually going to be talking about Commodore 64 stuff. I'm going to be talking about new games that came out this week, both of them are our Xbox titles. And they're both coming to Game Pass. One came on Game Pass already, and that's how I played it. And then the other one, those that have Game Pass will be able to play it on Tuesday. So we're going to first talk about a game that's getting a lot of buzz, mainly because a lot of critics are loving this game. And it is an independent game. It is a narrative game. It's not exactly a walking simulator, but it is a more narrative game, a more point-and-click adventure game. And it's called Mixtape, and this is from Annapurna Interactive, which is the studio that published games like Outer Wilds and a lot of like kind of the indie darling. They're kind of like the A24 of video games, if you know, like the A24 movies. Now, one thing to mention is that Annapurna, the entire staff at the publisher of Annapurna published the game. It was developed by a different development house in Australia. The entire team at Annapurna got fired 2 years ago and completely replaced with new people because they didn't like what their billionaire boss was doing. So a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth of Annapurna, and they're taking it out on this game because this game actually got like 9s and 10s, and they're like, wait a minute, this game is not better than Crimson Desert. And it's not, you know, this game is not better than all these other games that have 1,000-hour playtimes. Why is this getting 9s and 10s across the board? Obviously, Annapurna paid them. I'm not going to get into any of that. So I do want to talk a little bit about Mixtape because I did play it. I played it basically in one session. It is about, it takes about 3 to 4 hours to go through. It is neat. It is a neat little game. I did wind up enjoying it, but It is not the here's the conceit of the game. Here's the idea of the game. The game itself is it's about teenagers in the 90s. They are graduating high school and they're going off to college, and it revolves around these three teenagers, seniors in high school, and one of them really, really loves music. And they all love skateboarding, but the main character in this, who actually the character you play, let me say it that way, is very into music and is about to go to New York to give her mixtape to a music producer and become this famous music producer person. It's wild dreams. It's not actually going to happen that way. But this is about the last night together of these three friends. So the game in this is basically there are little mini games all through the game where, you know, and the challenge comes in if you want to get achievements. If you're going for the achievements, yes, there is a game here. You don't have to get any of the achievements. You can complete the whole game without getting any achievement and see the entire story. But it also all revolves around music. And the music is very integral to the story, which is why there's no streamer mode. It is all licensed music. And one of the criticisms that I've heard people give of the game is that it's very unrealistic that a teenager in the 90s would know about all this music. There is no way they would have that music. Spotify didn't exist back then. You didn't have the access to music that we do in 2026. So a lot of younger people who are not, who weren't around in the 90s don't actually believe that we had the kind of access back then that we did. But I was a teenager in the 90s. And I had actually heard of almost all of these bands. Some of them are Australian, and I didn't know them. Because college radio stations existed. We had other ways of getting access and getting exposed to music that weren't the mainstream. So that argument that I keep hearing is that it's so unrealistic that anybody in the 90s would have access to this music. That is absurd, because I was there, and yes, I had heard of these bands. Was I a music snob? No, I wasn't. So I didn't, I didn't actually listen to music, but I had heard of them. I knew people who were. And this was not what my experience was like. My teenage experience was not like any of this. And Fifth Dream says that, yeah, there were music subs on VHS, magazines, friends. There was, high school stations, college radio stations. College radio station is really where you heard all the eclectic stuff. That is actually realistic. Like, this person, the person you are playing as absolutely would have access to all of these things at the record store, or copying tapes, or radio stations would have some deep cuts, obscure stuff. Not everything was just the pop stuff like we have on FM radio today, and MTV at the time had music still. In fact, MTV, by the way, there is an MTV channel that still plays music videos 24/7. It's just like way down on the cable list. But there is like a channel that basically just shows videos, but it's not the main MTV, and it's not MTV2, but it's kind of down on the list. They shut down a lot of those channels. There was like a big story about it at the end of the year. They shut down a bunch of those, but they didn't shut down all of them. They just shut down most of them. I think it's like MTV Classics and then MTV Hits, I think, is still around. But like, there were like a bunch of other sub channels. But anyway, MTV, there is a portion of MTV that still plays music videos. It's just not the main channels. Anyway, so the game itself, it is it's point and click adventure, basically. The animation style is stop motion not claymation or anything, but it reminds me a lot of the Spider-Verse movies. So that kind of like, it's not a fluid 60 frames a second, even though everything else is, which is kind of jarring, and it can give you a headache where, like when you're on a skateboard and you're skating down a road, I felt like I was playing Forza Horizon early, and you're skating down the road, everything there is 60 frames a second, but your character is animated at 24 frames a second. So this should is something to know, because even Fifth Dream in chat says this is what makes him motion sick, and I can absolutely see that. It is jarring. It is very, very jarring, especially considering everything else is running at a very high, very smooth frame rate, and the characters themselves are not. Hi-Fi Rush was a lot of the same way. So it really reminded me of what Hi-Fi Rush looked like. And Mike Def says South of Midnight also did that as well. So it is a walking simulator. You're basically going around. You're activating conversations. There is some like hunt and fetch things to advance the story, but it is very much about the story. The main character is actually not the one you're playing as. In fact, of the three kids, the character that you are playing as has the least amount of character development in the entire 3 to 4 hour runtime. I was more invested in this other character who has like this entire like emotional arc from beginning to end, has, you know, kind of a rich backstory, and really grows throughout the game. The character you're playing as doesn't. The character you're playing as is exactly the same at the end as she is in the beginning, because nothing changes, whereas the other characters kind of change. They grow up a little bit, and there is no growing up of the main character. So it's of the character you're playing as. I contend that the main character is the other girl that you're not playing as, Cassandra, for those who have played the game. And I don't want to spoil much of it, but I believe that's actually what the story is about. The story is about her. You are just playing as someone else. And it's kind of like a second person story. Like, you know, you have, you know, like first person adventures and third person adventures. This is like a second person adventure, because sometimes you are you're controlling what you're doing, but you're, you know, really controlling what the other kids are doing. That may not be everybody's cup of tea. It's not going to be anywhere on my game of the year list. I will tell you that. Like, I enjoyed it. I'm glad I played it. Am I going to go back? No. Did I get all the achievements? No. Do I care about getting all the achievements? Not really. You know, there are some like tricky timing puzzles, but you don't actually have to need to do those. I think I read somewhere like you only need 150 button presses to beat the whole game. Because there are some of the sequences that are, you know, you can actually just set the controller down and you'll get to the next part of the story. You won't get the achievement. You won't actually, like, be able to do fun things, but you don't actually have to do them. You can just set it down, and, like, especially when you're with the skateboard scenes. You can just set the controller down. It's auto-steer. Everything will be fine, and you'll get to the end. So it is not a game for everybody. But it has gotten a lot of attention because a lot of critics liked it, and it did mirror the 90s experience for some people that, they felt like this was like a very big embodiment of their 90s experience. It was not mine. I get it. Like, there were some neat narrative choices they made and neat gameplay choices they made, especially at the very end. I was like, okay, that's clever, and I'm not going to talk about it, but if you've played through the game, you probably know what I'm talking about. Pretty much the very last interactive scene. And SJR and Matt asked, wonder how speedruns will go with this. Can't really stream, so there's that. You can speedrun it, because like I said, like, you don't need to find everything. There are three areas where you're actually like going through and you're piecing together clues, and there are other things that you can look at, and there's narrative choices, and some of the achievements are find all the conversations, find all the items, but they're optional items. So you can really, kind of skip down to that, and, you know, somebody might find an out-of-bounds skip or something. And yeah, there's Easter eggs all around. They mention other bands that they don't have the music for. There were two Rush references. That's my favorite band. So two Rush references. I actually like saved them to my Xbox each time. It's a nice short experience. It's about 3 to 4 hours. I believe it's $20, but it is on Xbox Game Pass if you still have Xbox Game Pass. Many people don't, but that is how I played it, was on Xbox Game Pass. Yeah, so Mixtape, it's there wasn't technically anything wrong with it. So, like, if you want to say your reviews need to be entirely objective, no subjectivity whatsoever, then then I mean, it runs well. I didn't run into any bugs really. So, you know, I think the audio dropped out once and I had to restart the game. But other than that, like it performed as well as it should. But still, it is only going to cater to a very small subset of the audience. And apparently their game critics is in that. So it's still good. I still am glad I played it. I'm still glad that I watched it. The other character stories are very interesting. The main character that you're at, not really, but I think it was good for that development team to be able to get this. This is not their first game. They've made some other ones. I forget what I think it's Beethoven and Dinosaur is the name of the development studio out in Australia. And they also got support from the Australian government and stuff for the artistry stuff. So, I enjoyed it. I'm glad that I played it. I'm probably not going to pick it up again. If you have Game Pass, check it out for a little bit. It's not going on any Game of the Year list for me. Now, you don't have to worry about this game being taken off because there's licensed music. So you hear a lot about licensed music, right? And how licensed music forces games to be taken off of sale because the music license runs out. And this was not a problem back in the early days of CD-ROM games, because taking it off of sale just meant you took it off the store shelves. With digital games, they stay on for sale in perpetuity, basically, or until the store itself shuts down. And that means that, like, that is why we're going to talk about Forza. That is why Forza Horizon 4 is no longer available for sale. You cannot buy Forza Horizon 4 digitally anymore. The only way you can get it is if you find a used copy somewhere, but then you can't get any of the DLC or anything like that. And it's because the licenses expire after several years, X amount of years. As Sharon and Matt wants to bring up, The Artful Escape was their last game, also a cute narrative rock opera game. So the people who made Mixtape, Beethoven and Dinosaur. But Mixtape, you don't have to worry about it getting delisted. Video Games Chronicle reports the developers behind the Annapurna indie hit Mixtape have dismissed claims that the game could be delisted from stores in the future due to its focus on licensed music. So it's set in the 1990s, and here it is, Artful Escape. Mixtape tells the story of three high school friends making their way to their final party, reminiscing about their teenage years. So that's what it's about. It prominently features music from artists such as the Smashing Pumpkins, Devo, and The Cure, and Iggy Pop, by the way, to the point that the game doesn't include a streamer mode, allowing creators to safely stream the game. So, yeah, you're not going to see it on, well, you will see it on Twitch, but then, you know, you're not going to be able to watch it on YouTube or anything like that. Because many similar games are often delisted when their music licenses expire, some fans had expected that Mixtape's shelf life could be short. However, according to Kotaku, Mixtape director Johnny Galvatron moved to alleviate such concerns. According to the developer, Mixtape won't suffer the same issues as other games featuring licensed music, as they negotiated the licenses in perpetuity. Galvatron's claim was later echoed by Annapurna itself, which wrote on X, quote, "We heard some people say Mixtape would be delisted due to music licenses expiring. That was a lie," unquote. What that means, in perpetuity, in contractual language, means essentially forever. That is used in legal language, in contracts, and you know, when you're talking about a time frame, either it will be this license is for X amount of years or X amount of months, or it will be in perpetuity. And by them getting these songs in perpetuity means that they will have a legal right to distribute Mixtape with those songs for as long as they distribute Mixtape. And this is something that normally would be very expensive, but these are also, it is not like the biggest hits from these companies. And it's also about celebrating them. Like, there's actually a quote in here, they're in here about when they, you know, talk to the Smashing Pumpkins, when they talk to Billy Corgan, they're basically like, yeah, the way that, you know, the song is introduced is the character you're playing as looks at the screen and says, like, this is awesome. And so Billy Corgan looks at it and is like, yes, that is awesome. Here, you can have it. Like, it's lovingly actually like putting the music into the art instead of just like having it be in the background on a radio station. So it was probably a pretty easy sell, and it was probably, you know, it was affordable enough. But something like a Grand Theft Auto or a Forza Horizon or, you know, a FIFA or Madden or whatever, those command high dollar. And the music is not why people pick up Grand Theft Auto. Music is not why people pick up Forza Horizon. Music is not why people pick up Madden. The music was not why people picked up Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. But the music is why you want mixtape. And so it was integral for them to sign those rights in perpetuity for mixtape and its integrity, because the story is around the music, and they can't just, the way that they crafted the story, it would be difficult. I'm not going to say impossible. It would be difficult for them to swap it with something else and still have it have the same impact. So even Questbusters, like, yeah, there's a surprise patch that Rockstar has done with some GTA games, which removed expired tracks. And there was actually an old Forza, they removed some expired, or they actually updated the tracks in Forza to remove certain words. They actually, like, censored a bunch of words. And they weren't just curse words. They censored other things. And I think it was Forza Horizon 4. But they patched the game, and, like, they did, like, remove a song. But yeah, so we're not going to find that for mixtape. So you've got some time. You can wait for it to be on sale if you want, because it'll probably be on sale for, like, you know, $6 in a couple years, and maybe that'll be the time that you pick it up. So I've been kind of hinting and talking about Forza Horizon 6. Let's go ahead and talk about Forza Horizon 6. Forza Horizon 6, for those of us who bought, is it the Ultimate Edition? I forget. The Expensive Edition. Those of us who are the problem, we got access to the game at about midnight, Thursday night, Friday morning. It actually goes for everybody else, and if you have Xbox Game Pass, it's Tuesday. It's in 2 days from now. And so I was there right at 12:01, and so that meant I was not on the top of the leaderboard, because I have people on my friends list who are actually Games Media, and they had been playing it for a couple weeks. So I am not at the top of any leaderboards, but I was on the top of all y'all's leaderboards for a couple hours, and then now I'm not anymore because I didn't get to play it all that much. So Forza Horizon 6, it is the newest edition in the Forza Horizon series. It takes place in Japan this time, and here's what I'm going to say that might surprise some people, because I've been so looking forward to this. And then I'm playing it and I'm like, yeah, this is great. It's also just kind of a roster update. So it doesn't feel that much different than Forza Horizon 5. Except instead of sombreros, there's anime characters. It is a very pretty roster update. Don't get me wrong. But if you are really into the Forza Horizon series, there's not that much new here. It is just it's just different tracks, but it's still the same game. If you're not into the Forza Horizon series and you love Japan, this is amazing. I would wholeheartedly recommend Forza Horizon 6. But if you're looking for something that is, you know, something that brings something new to the Forza Horizon series, it's not really here. There are new features, but it's not about the racing. It's around the creation tools. They basically came out the gate with a bunch of creation tools to build your own racetracks, to build your own. Now you can build your own house. Now you can build your own garage, and you can put all these things in there. It's called an estate, and you have an estate, and you have this whole track of land, and you can just build whatever on it. You can even put skyscrapers on it, and you can make your own tracks, and, you know, your own gameplay modes and stuff like that. And car customization is always still there, but now you can put stickers on the windows, which you couldn't do in any previous Forza game. So that was the big innovation there. But that's where they spent all of their new brain energy, is on those creation tools. So if you don't use those creation tools, they're not there for you. Like, there's not that much here for you. Dark Disease says, as long as the monetization stuff isn't as egregious as the Crew Motorfest was, I think I'll be happy with Forza 6. Essentially, now, I don't know what is going to be for Forza Horizon 6. I will say, historically, for Forza Horizon, there are two expansions and there are car packs. And that's it. Now, they're going to release a whole bunch of car packs, and you may want some of those car packs, but that's basically it. There are a ton of cars that are already in the game. But like, and I think the only car pack I bought with Forza Horizon 5 was they did a car pack of movie cars. So like, it, now they couldn't directly reference the movies, but one was basically Kit from Knight Rider. They had the DeLorean from Back to the Future, and they had the, I think it's the hearse from Ghostbusters. Now, it's the actual cars, and not like, and then you would download from the community deliveries that would actually make them look like the actual cars in the movie. S. Sharon O'Matt says they did have a few sections that kind of reminded of Forza Horizon 4 and 5, like, you know, some put some of those things in the game, like the wooded areas and stuff like that. PodCulture says, yes, the Halo Warthog and the DeLorean are in Forza Horizon 6. I think there was, like, because there was a DeLorean in the base of Forza Horizon 5, but I believe there was a different DeLorean in the movie pack, and I'm not sure. I can't remember now. It's been a while. But yeah, the Halo Warthog's been there since, I think, 3. And yes, I did see it for sale, and I'll get it eventually. Here's the other thing. Like, Japan is a selling point for a lot of people for this game. It doesn't really feel like Japan. Like, it is. Like, the expansiveness of Tokyo. Like, Tokyo is a very large city. And, you know, I've been to Tokyo. I spent 1 week in Tokyo about 25 years ago, so I am an expert in all things Japan. But I'm not, by the way. That's sarcasm. But one of the things that I remember from Tokyo is when my friend took me up to the top of the Tokyo Tower, which has an observation deck. And I was looking off in the distance, and I could see this other city over in the horizon. There were clouds in the sky, so there I could see like the sun hitting the horizon over there. And I asked him, oh, what city is that? And he looked, and he's like, oh, that's still Tokyo. So Tokyo is huge. Tokyo is massive. And it is massive in this game, too. It is much larger than any other city in any of the previous Forza Horizon games. And yes, you'd go around there, and it does look like it feels like Tokyo. But then when you get out of there, and I'm like, this looks like, you know, kind of the same as Australia. Or look, this looks like this part in Mexico, which were where the previous two games were. I think maybe it's just because I've played the Forza Horizon games so much. Like, it's the same thing. And so that's why I call it a roster update. They did pluck things from the other games. But if you, there's not much more they can do. They do have, like, cherry blossoms around, and you can't hit the cherry blossom trees. You actually cannot tear down any cherry blossom tree. And they have shrines around, and you can't tear down any shrines because they want to be respectful to the culture. Just about everything else you can destroy. It's a very destructive game. It doesn't feel like Japan once you get out of Tokyo, except for, like, the anime characters and the things that you're smashing there. So the music stations are the thing that I go into the most. And it's kind of interesting. It's kind of neat how some of the stations, they actually keep the same DJ especially from 4 and 5. So the station I usually listen to is Horizon Pulse. And they actually have the same voice actress play the same character that she played, I think, starting in 4. Because 4 was in England. And starting in 4, and because she's British, and she was back in 5, and now she's in 6, and it's like, you know, kind of like there's lore like that. And what they do is, and what they do with that is that they have the DJ will actually kind of narrate your journey. So it's very, you know, it's very unrealistic in that it's all about this outsider they keep talking about. But you actually get kind of like little hits and tidbits and stuff like that on your journey, which is great. But it's still just regular Forza Horizon music. It's not very Japanese. Now, there is one Japanese station that plays Japanese music, and I believe that's like where Baby Metal is and stuff like that. I don't know. But there is that. But the DJ there speaks in Japanese. And even if you have subtitles on, there's no translation. So if you want to listen to the Japanese station, you lose out on all of the other narrative things that come in from the music. And I don't know if in Mexico they had a space station that was in Spanish or not. I know they had like a Mexican station. I don't know if the DJ there spoke Spanish even in the English version. So, yeah, I was kind of disappointed in that because I don't want to listen to the Japanese station because then I will miss out on the narrative things as I progress through the journey. Maybe I'll start listening to it once I do get all the wristbands and I'm in the end game, and then it doesn't really matter what the DJ says. But right now, I'm not at that stage yet. Questbuster asked a question that is actually my next bullet point in here. Questbuster says, please tell me Deja Vu from Initial D is in there somewhere. There is no Eurobeat in Forza Horizon 6. There's no Eurobeat. There's no Eurobeat station, and as far as I can tell, there's no Eurobeat songs. So it is not the Eurobeat fantasy that we all wanted from Japan. Also, I did read what other people said about Forza Horizon 6 and other critics, and one said, you know, it doesn't lean into Japanese car culture as much, and I agree with that. It doesn't feel like it leans into the supreme culture of car racing and car customization, and especially the drifting, which is what a lot of people associate with Japan, with Initial D and, you know, Fast and Furious had Tokyo Drift. There are the drift zones, like there always have been, but I don't like drifting, so I'm actually okay with the fact that they didn't emphasize drifting a lot more. But they didn't emphasize it any more than they have in previous games. So a lot of people who are like, Japanese is known for their drifting culture, if you're not out of control, you're not in control, things like that. And you're not going to really get a sense of that here more than other Forza Horizon games. Mike Def says it leans into the history of the cars themselves rather than the culture in general, which is also kind of what Gran Turismo does, because Gran Turismo really leans into the history of the cars itself, and that's what it does really well. And, you know, you can tell when you play, like, especially the latest Gran Turismo, where, you go to this little coffee shop with a car, and the owner will tell you all about the car and the history of the car and who designed the car and, you know, where the chassis came from. And it's very respectful and very reverent and stuff. And I guess that's the adults car culture over there, but not necessarily the exciting car culture that a lot of people think of. They think of more of the Initial D type stuff or the Tokyo Drift, the Fast and Furious. And I didn't really get a sense of that. And then I haven't done much multiplayer. It does have a multiplayer mode. I'm playing it with, you know, where I can see other people's ghosts when I'm driving around in the open world. But there's no car clubs. So in the past, I would create a car club. I would call it VOG. People could join the car club and you'd have VOG in your name. Can't do that. They actually do not have a replacement for that because Xbox removed the communities feature, which is what they used in Forza Horizon 4 and 5. Very late in the development cycle. I think that decision was probably made earlier this year. And it was too late for them to bring in a replacement. So they probably had planned for communities to be there, and then they had to rip it out basically at the last minute. So there are no car clubs, which means that there's no like club leaderboard or anything like that. SJR Matt says they put a lot of emphasis on building your garage, and I actually haven't touched the garage builder yet. Questbuster says it looks like fun. In one of the streams I caught, the player found a Toyota GT2000, and the narrator just went off on the history of it. The barn finds are a little bit different. Barn finds, they'll do that. And that's been in every Forza Horizon. It might not have been in the first one, but I don't remember. But barn finds are basically, there are these barns hidden in the woods, and you go find the barn. It'll give you like kind of a big circle, and you have to like just drive through the woods, knocking down trees with your supercar to find the barn. Then they restore it, and then it goes into your garage. And there are a bunch of these all around. Yeah, it does, because it's still the Turn 10 Studios team is still helping them with it. They make Forza Motorsport, and they all have the reverence for the cars themselves. And Horizon is in Playground Games is making it a playground because that's what they do. So, yeah, there's There's those, and then one of the things they did add was, I think this is the treasure car mechanic, where they basically are like, this car's sitting out in the open, here's a picture of it, go find it. And there will be like kind of a clue of like, oh, you know, this is kind of in this section over here. But then you have to go literally go find it. And then it gets added to your inventory. And Apocalypse says the first treasure car I found was an orange 69 Dodge Charger. I believe that is the first one you find. Yeah, so I am enjoying it, but I am kind of disappointed that it is... I am half disappointed and half okay with the fact that it's Forza Horizon. It's Forza Horizon in a new location that looks like all the previous locations. And, you know, it's nice to kind of come back to an old friend, and I'm absolutely going to put many, 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 many more hours into it. But it is not... There's nothing in here that really changes the formula for me. Because I'm not a creator. I don't create, I don't create tracks, which is really what they put all their emphasis in. And I don't drift. SJR Matt says the rush events are fun. So, yeah, so they added these rush events instead of showcase events. They still have some showcase events, and I'll explain what those are in a second. The rush events are basically like they have like this track. It's like an obstacle course, and you're trying to get through it. And I've done one of those. And yeah, those are fun. Those are kind of new and neat. And the showcase events, those are the ones where it's like, it's you versus this thing that's not a car. And the one that everybody knows about, and Tiger Claw referenced it in chat, it was in the trailer. And I remember when the trailer came out, I'm like, this is exactly what this is. Because people were like, ooh, you get to drive a mech. And I'm like, no, you're going to race a mech in a showdown event. And you do. It is the first showdown event, and I did finally get to it today. I finally got to the showdown event today, and the thing about the showdown events all throughout the series is that they are more cinematic than gameplay. It's a little more gameplay than mixtape, but they are scripted cinematic sequences that are tied to where you are, and it's not necessarily a race where you have to beat your time. As Jeremy Matt says it very succinctly, and this is true of all the Forza Horizons that have had these showdown events, because this is not the first one. It's very hard to lose these events, and I would actually say it is impossible to lose the mech event. It's the first one. I have lost one of these showcase showdown events. It's the showcase. These are showcase events. Showdown events are something different from previous Forza. So many show things. Showcase, you can lose, especially if you have a bad, like, end of the race. Because once the script goes, then you have to make it through. Yeah, if you wipe out in the final stretch, you can lose it, because it waits for you in the cinematics. The way it's scripted is it waits for you to go around something, go around a corner or something, and then that's when the last bit goes. And you can actually, people have done this where they've kind of just sat in one location and looked at the minimap and saw that the other car, like the thing they were racing against, didn't move. And it wasn't going to move until they got to the next trigger point. So those are very cinematic. They're very cool. They're very flashy. They're something that, you know, you could show your friends, like, isn't this cool? But it's going to be very hard to lose. Or, as Jeremy Matt says, in the flip side, no matter how good you do, you will win by a hair. Like, it is very scripted cinematic that you just barely beat this, you know, warfighter that's flying through the air. So it's very scripted that you're losing the whole time until the very end. That way you can see the thing you're racing against. It's very cinematic. Forza Horizon 6, it comes out for everybody on Tuesday. If you have Xbox Game Pass, it comes out for you on Tuesday. It is not Call of Duty, so it is still there. You're still getting it on day one. And it is also going to be out on PC. It will be coming at some point to PlayStation 5, but it is not on PlayStation 5 right now. So I believe the PlayStation 5 release is later, but there is crossplay. So if you're playing it on PC, then you'll still be able to race against other people. I believe the friends mechanic though is on the Xbox version. So if you're playing on PC, I don't know if the Steam version, how that works with the Xbox version, which I am also calling the version that you get on the PC Xbox Store, the Windows Game Store, whatever they're calling it now. If you're playing it via Play Anywhere, Xbox Play Anywhere, then yes, you'll be able to, you know, have your Xbox friends and do that stuff. I don't know how that correlates with Steam. Maybe Steam has you log into your Xbox account. I don't know if you play it on Steam. But the PC version, and Esther Matt's like, I should load up the PC version. I didn't, because it's still 155 gigs, and that would very closely get me to the end of what I can put on my solid-state drive. And if you have you seen the prices for new drives lately? Yeah. So I'm going to just keep playing it on my Xbox. So that means I'm not streaming it. I'm going to play it on my Xbox in my 4K theater with my Atmos sound. Which it does use the top speakers. There was a mech running on top of my top speakers. Yeah. S-Force Horizon 6. It'll make your PC cry. So I'm playing it on my Xbox Series X. All right. There was one piece of news I wanted to talk about real quick. And that is about the future. What happens in California usually takes effect around the country. And in this case, maybe even around the world. Ars Technica reports that a bill focused on maintaining long-term playable access to online games has passed out of the California Assembly's Appropriations Committee, setting up a floor vote by the full legislative body. The advancement is a major win for Stop Killing Games' grassroots game preservation movement and comes over the objections of industry lobbyists at the Entertainment Software Association. So California's Protect Our Games Act, or the POG Act, I guess, get it? Pog Champ emotes in the chat. As currently written, which is it's in committee. So this hasn't like gone to the floor or anything like that, but it's passed out of committee here. Would require digital game publishers who cut off support for an online game to either provide a full refund to players or offer an updated version of the game, quote, that enables its continued use of independent of services controlled by the operator, unquote. The act would also require publishers to notify players 60 days before cessation of, quote, services necessary for the ordinary use of the digital game, unquote. As currently amended, the act would not apply to completely free games and games offered, quote, solely for the duration of a subscription. Any other game offered for sale on California on or after January 1st, 2027 would be subject to the law if it passes, unquote. So the 11-2 committee vote was to advance it in a formal statement of support sent to the California legislature. Stop Killing Games, the association out of Europe, says, quote, there's no other medium in which a product can be marketed and sold to a consumer and then ripped away without notice. As live service games rise in popularity for game developers and gamers alike, end of life procedures and essential tools are to ensure prolonged access to the game consumers pay to enjoy, unquote. The Entertainment Software Association, which helps represent the interests of major game publishers, publicly told the California Assembly last month that the bill misrepresents how modern game distribution actually works. Quote, consumers receive a license to access and use a game, not an unrestricted ownership interest in the underlying work. Unquote. And the ESA said the eventual shutdown of outdated or obsolete games is, quote, a natural feature of modern software, unquote. And why is it a natural feature of modern software? Just because you say it is natural does not mean that it should be natural. Just because that is how you decided that this is how modern software works does not mean that we have to agree. And it does not mean that legislative bodies have to agree. Just because you say it's inevitable does not mean that we have to agree that it is inevitable. The ESA has also said that the bill would impose unreasonable expectations on publishers regarding licensing rights for music or IP rights, which are often negotiated on a time-limited basis. Well, maybe you can negotiate them in perpetuity, like Annapurna Interactive did, and Dinosaurs, as what the mixtape developers did. Because apparently it's possible to negotiate rights in perpetuity. Quote, a legal requirement to keep playing games playable indefinitely could place publishers in an impossible position, forcing them to renegotiate licenses indefinitely or alter games in ways that they may that may not be legally or technically feasible, unquote. Well, then maybe they should design them in such a way to make them technically feasible. Hmm? Maybe you'll just need to think ahead. Last month, the Protect Our Games Act also received positive votes from the California Assembly's Privacy and Consumer Protection and Judiciary Committees, but the bill still faces significant hurdles in getting majority passage in the full California Assembly and the California Senate before being sent over to California Governor Gavin Newsom for signature. So we're standing up to the game publishers, and the game publishers are like, wait a minute, no. As Sharon Matt says, I'm using too much logic. I am. You know, imagine having to plan ahead. But I mean, hey, let me also put it to you this way. You're like, oh, it's technically impossible. I'm sorry, but I thought you told me that generative AI was the future of game development. So you're telling you can't get your best boy Claude over there to rewrite the parts and remove the online infrastructure part of it when you want to shut down your game? Are you saying that's too difficult for Claude? Because I was told Claude was going to do everything, and that Claude is the best at everything, and that you're not going to need human developers anymore because Claude is there. So are you saying that this is impossible for Claude? Is that what you're saying? That Claude code can't do this? Because you're telling me that they can. Because I was told that was inevitable. So are you saying that this is too difficult of a problem for all the, you know, for all those data centers that you're buying up and all that power that you're going to be taking away from local communities? It's too hard for them. It's too hard for you, too, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, congrats to them in the California, the people that are promoting this in California. If this actually does get past California, which California has passed game legislation before that no other states did, that did kind of, you know, send the industry into forcing them into do things. You know, if they do this in California, they're just going to have to do it everywhere. So that's why California is very integral to a lot of this stuff, because there are laws that are passed in California that it doesn't make sense for them to only follow the law in California and not anywhere else. This benefits everybody. That is also why there's a lot of people that want to strip power from California. And in fact, anyway, we're not going to get into that. But there are a lot of people that don't like that, the fact that California and Texas have that much power over things. Anyway, stop killing the games. If you need to use your boy Claude to keep them online, I guess, you know, or keep them playable after you take the servers offline, then maybe people won't hate Claude so much. And Fifth Dream says, use Claude servers to put the games on. And so here's the thing. We actually talked about this a couple weeks ago, is that there are games that are being taken offline. Their online servers are being taken offline because the company that was hosting them, those game servers, said, you know what? This AI company is going to pay us more money to use the hardware we're hosting your game servers on, so we're gonna turn off your service, and you're gonna have to go find someone else. And you know, all the other servers are like, well, you know, AI is paying this much, so we're gonna charge you this much because this is the market value for the hardware that's in our building. And so there are independent online games that literally can't host their game anymore for a reasonable price because people have, because AI companies have come in and said, no, we want that server to run our agentic workflows. Not to make games playable offline. That's not what they want to do. But there are other agentic workflows that they want to work. So it looks like we actually have somebody in the green room. So I'm going to go ahead and bring them in, and we're going to see what they have to say, since I'm skipping the music break here. So I'm going to bring them in. And see what's going on. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby, it's Brad.
Brad from Orange Lounge Radio 2DX. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
I'm trying to make... Is my microphone actually working?
I'm hearing you.
Okay. There was a little bit of a delay, so I'm like, uh-oh. All right. You're working on a night off. You have the night off. What's going on, Brad?
Well, I was going to play some Forza and get caught back up to some of your discoveries, but, well, you know how it is.
I mean, you could still, like, you know, you could still play them.
Yeah, but hey, this is one of the rare times I can actually listen to your show and not have to be doing show prep at the same
time. Right, I understand. So, you've been playing Forza Horizon 6, so what are your thoughts on it?
I like it a fair bit. I know that you had said something about the race types being more of the same. Mm-hmm. It kind of is, but like the character creation menus are great. Some of the options in there are just amazing. Down to like you know, if you have an artificial limb, mm-hmm. there's all sorts of different kinds there.
Yes, but you know what's not there? Do you know what is not in that character creation at all? Facial hair. I cannot have a goatee.
Oh, barefaced Bobby?
It's barefaced Bobby. I cannot have a goatee in Forza Horizon 6.
That is weird considering the fact that they have it down to like you can also select like the type and color of hearing aid that you have.
Yeah.
If you're on that, it's... Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
It's very cyberpunk, but yeah, no, that's I think those type of things were probably higher on the list than facial hair. Like they're in Japan. There's not even a Fu Manchu or anything. I know it's Chinese.
Okay. I get you there. I get you on that one then. But yeah, I'm loving it. It's one of the few franchises I will pay way too damn much money for.
Yeah, no, same. That's why I paid the $120 because like there's two expansions that you get with it. And I'm going to get both expansions, even if I'm not a fan of the expansions. Like they've done like these rally ones before, and I'm not really. I don't like the cross country races, especially because they're a little bit harder because of the weird terrain, the mud, and the stuff like that. But some of their other expansions, like when they've done Hot Wheels and Lego, those are like chef's kiss.
Oh, the Hot Wheels and Lego ones have been great.
Yeah,
and. I mean, still race on Bobby Black Wolf mode, and yet I still lost the two plane race.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Yeah, it's very much scripted, and you can mess up the script. I do play at those levels as well. And ZenMonkey11 says Forza 6 hasn't reached puberty yet. No, it hasn't, and they haven't even turned on the season mechanic yet.
That's true.
Yeah, so like it's coming soon, so I bet they'll like turn it on like next week or something like that. But Forza Horizon, well, there's so much to do, you're kind of overwhelmed. So they want people to enjoy what's there before starting to do all the seasonal challenges, which adds a new currency into the game, and things like that. So every week the game will change what season it's in, which will even like open up new areas. Like I know in previous Forza Horizon, in the winter months, the lake freezes over and that becomes a drag strip. So you can only race on that drag strip once every 4 weeks, for 1 week out of every four. So I'm assuming that will probably happen again. They'll do something that's that gimmick again, that like only in winter can you access this. And there are also like... There were in the previous Forza Horizons, like some of the collectibles were only on islands that were in the middle of one of the lakes, and you could only get to them in the winter months. So you couldn't actually collect those things until the winter months. You could see them. They were way out there, but your car would sink before you could get to them.
Yeah, I'm having some problems with some of the 5,000 experience point boards.
Yeah.
Since they're up on roofs.
Yeah. SJNMS says, I don't like that it yells at me saying I am doing too good and I should bump it up to the next label. No, I'm good making 20% less. Yeah, no, I keep turning that off as well.
Same.
Because I'm like, yes, I want to be good. Like, that is why I play this, is so I can feel like I'm good at this.
I've had it be sneaky and turned it back up a level on me. Mm-hmm. I may have just missed a request or something and it did it. But
yeah, you might have just hit okay on the request. Like, yes, you can absolutely take me up a level. I'm like, no.
I'm like, all of a sudden, I really stink.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. Okay, never mind.
Now, I will say that the Drivatar system, which I don't have as many complaints about it now, but I will say, like, especially on like those cross country races or the dirt races, it does seem like the level that you're at is harder on those than it is on like a road race. So like sometimes like I thought maybe I would have to go back a level to be able to get first in a cross country race and then take it back up, because I'm smoking everybody in road races, but I am like really struggling in like some of the cross country races, which basically have, for those that don't know what cross country races is like part of it'll be on a road, but then it'll like go into like mud and you might even like go through a river, and then you know there's dirt, and basically it there are a bunch of different surfaces, and that changes your cornering. A lot of times they'll be in rain, so that changes your handling and everything like that. And some of the Drivatars are really good at that stuff, and even at the same level that you're at.
Yeah, I've had a hard time dealing with some of the cross-country ones as well, because I can get a car dialed in great mm-hmm. where it's on the road, or a car dialed in great where it's great for off-road. But when you're switching from one to the other constantly, it throws you a little bit.
Yeah, so that's where like some of the community tunings will help, because some people will take like a car and they'll make a community tune-up that basically is like, this is cross-country mode, and this is great for the cross-country. So you can actually get that from the community and apply it to the car, because I don't do all the tuning myself. Like I'm not a car head, so I don't care about like doing the resistances and all that stuff. I will just like buy some, you know, download someone else's configuration and buy it.
Yeah, I made the mistake of doing that to my, because I always, when I get a game like this, the first thing I do is I go in and remake my first car, mm-hmm. and they have one that's similar to that, and yeah, I downloaded a tune for it, and I can't drive my car that great anymore.
Well, I think you can reset it. You can reset it back to stock.
I should have to. It's, I have a 79 Camaro. I downloaded a performance package for it, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's got a little too much power for me now.
Yeah. Yep. No,
I like it. It's a fun game.
Yeah. I've done it where I will take my car and I will like get it to like the top of whatever car class. Like when I would always get like a Ford Mustang and I would have it be my A class car. I wouldn't get it up to S2, but I would bump it up to like the A700, like this A699 or whatever the highest part is. And that's what I would usually main in some of these games. But nice. Yeah, once you get one of those up to S2, yeah, you've got to be a really good driver to be able to handle those.
The only thing I can say about the creation tools I wish that they would do is a little more options in the colors and things. They do have a color mm-hmm. wheel and chart that you can pick from, but when it comes to doing the metallics, mm-hmm. there's no option to like tint a silver metallic another color. Yeah. So if they could add that, that would be cool.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Because that's where they're focusing all their energy is on those creator tools. So having tinting of metallic and having facial hair, I guess, are the two things they can get out of us.
Well, I'm glad we got that settled tonight, yep. then.
All right.
Well, you have a good night there,
yep,
bud.
You have a good night. And everybody stay tuned for Marvels on Stream for a little bit. We'll race in Marbles before I go back into playing more Forza Horizon. Good to hear from you. Congratulations on everything with OLR2DX. And y'all will be back next week.
Yep, next week, and Jamie's doing pretty well with her hands. So
good.
Hopefully awesome. She can run the board next week.
Well, hopefully.
All right, have a good one, bud.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. So, that is going to be it for me here on the Voice of Geeks Network tonight. So thank you so much for being here on this night. We are going to play some Marbles on Stream right afterwards, so that's not going to be on the podcast. We're going to end the podcast here, stop all the recording, save everything, and then I will pull up the Marbles. It's been a while. It's been since before OLR. We used to do this until they started up in January, and so we're going to see what the new Marbles season is like, some of the new tracks. We'll see that right after this, but that is it for me. I will also be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly. I will not be here in 2 weeks because I'm going to go to a concert. So I don't do that often, but sometimes it's worth it. And so that is what I'm going to be doing. You can also join us on the Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. You can also follow me on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com, on Instagram at BobbyBlackWolf, and... basically over on our Discord server. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. Thank you so much for helping out on this. It really does help us. Just try to keep the lights on. That's all we're trying to do. Thank you so much for resubscription, SSJ100 Matt, and for the 42nd month, Sean322. Thank you so much. Yeah, and hey, games are good. The industry kind of sucks right now with all the layoffs and everything, all the changes, but games are good. It was good to play some games. I will go ahead and hit this button to get us out of here. And there it is. That's the button. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. Have a great week. Memorial Day is next weekend. We will be here on the Sunday night of Memorial Day here in the U.S. And I hope you have a good week. See ya.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.